You with Alex this morning here on 2CR Brekkie. It's coming up to 8:15, and it is a Thursday, so we've got the fabulous Michael Jones in for movie reviews, and it's a special kind of movie reviews today, Michael.
Today I'm going to be sharing some of my favourite and least favourite films of 2019, some of my best and worst. I must admit this is not a comprehensive list, as I haven't seen every single film that came out in 2019. I'm sorry to disappoint you there. So obviously some people will be disappointed that I didn't have certain films in the best and worst list, but they're probably not there because I didn't see them. But I've probably still seen more films than you.
Yes, 100%. I think I've seen one in cinemas this year.
Okay, when I say you, I'm not just referring to you across the desk from me. I'm referring to you who might be listening. And, of course, it is really hard to compile a list of best and worst films because they are a lot of fun to talk about. The best are usually harder to talk about because many have already been considered in the previous year's award season. So I often forget about them because I consider them to be last year's films, even though they were released here. And, of course, there are still a couple of good films which are coming out on Boxing Day that I don't really want to spoil. I probably won't mention them until next week when I will spoil them for you. So let's start off with a couple of films that probably weren't considered for awards, but I consider them guilty pleasures. They include films like Rambo, Last Blood. I know the politics of that one were pretty dreadful. Maybe you have to be of a certain age to appreciate a Rambo film these days. John Wick 3, Parabellum. Keanu Reeves riding a horse down a New York street. Does it really get any better than that? I think not. And then another film, Cold Pursuit. Yes, it's another Liam Neeson revenge film, but this one is actually really clever and very, very funny. So they were my guilty pleasures. I'll start with some actual really good films that other people may have appreciated as well. Never Look Away, written and directed by Florian Henkel von Donnerschmark. This was my favourite non-English speaking film of the year. Beautiful visuals, epic story of three significant periods in German history. Well worth a look. We'll move on to my favourite documentary of 2019, Apollo 11. It has been 50 years and maybe I have been caught up in the nostalgia for the moon landing and all that stuff. But this documentary is a magnificent testimony to one of the greatest scientific achievements of the 20th century. It's really out of this world. A couple of favourite Australian documentaries that came out this year would have included The Australian Dream, which should be obviously watched as a double feature with The Final Quarter, two films that will prick Australians' consciences.
That's the
word I'm looking for. Another great Australian film that came out this year, for various reasons, was The Nightingale. It recently won the Actor Award for Best Picture, but it stood out for me as being the one most likely to inflict PTSD on the audience. Extremely violent, but compelling film showcasing a very dark period in Australian history, written and directed by Jennifer Kent. You'll probably be watching this one through your fingers and maybe looking away at times and perhaps hitting the pause button or the fast forward button, but I assure you to try and sit through it. Roma was another good non-English speaking film, this one in Spanish. It was a Mexican film, deserved winner of the best foreign film at the Oscars this year. I just had to mention it. Now, usually I pour scorn on films adapted from comic book sources, but Todd Phillips' Joker was the best reimagining of Taxi Driver / King of Comedy I've ever seen, and Joaquin Phoenix was brilliant as Arthur Fleck. So dark and so beautiful was this film. And I'm also going to add Avengers Endgame into this list too, much to my surprise. It was actually pretty epic, and I was swept away by the emotion of the story. There certainly was one teenage girl in the audience who was so swept away, she bawled for the last half an hour of the film. Look, it was an excellent end to the Marvel franchise. Oh,
well, no, but there's more in the mix, isn't there?
What? You mean they're going to be making more Marvel movies?
So I believe. I don't think it ever ends, does it?
Bugger. Oh, can I take this one back? I'm like, damn, I really thought it was all going to be over. Anyway, moving on from comic book films, if a Martin Scorsese homage can make this list, an actual Martin Scorsese film should make it into the list too. The Irishman, despite the poor de-aging special effects, is a cracker of a film, and you can already watch it in the comfort of your own home. A couple more honourable mentions in the best / favourite film category include The Report, which is another one you can watch in your own home. Adam Driver, he's been in lots of good stuff. stuff this year. And also don't forget Lulu Wang's The Farewell.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard of that one.
That's about an elderly Chinese lady who has cancer, but her family, they won't tell her.
Oh, wow.
Because apparently once you know you have cancer, then you die quicker. Oh. That's the theory of the film.
Right, okay.
And it's based on a true story. And the woman in China still doesn't know that she's had cancer.
Oh,
so
wow.
It is a terrific film to watch. There'll be some who say, what about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? I say, meh, overrated. Hollywood navel gazing and Tarantino possibly finally disappearing up his own rectum. Let's move on to some of the worst and some of my least favourite films of 2019. There are so many worthy candidates for this category. It's often hard to keep it to just 10, and I may go over because I haven't actually counted. Let's start with Fighting With My Family. Apparently this comedy is based on the true story of a young British woman who became the world champion in the WCW. That's World Championship Wrestling. You know it's a totally fake sport, right? Look, I get the athleticism required, but this is an inspirational movie about someone who does make-believe for a living. It's a totally moronic premise and for idiots only. I just could not.
Ooh, harsh.
I could not stand this film. The Hustle is another film I couldn't stand. Rebel Wilson's career is still bubbling along. She's in Jojo Rabbit next week, but it probably will go seriously off the boil if she keeps doing terrible remakes and rip-offs of classic 1980s comedies like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Hustle away very, very quickly from this one if someone sticks it in the DVD player. Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Why the 2014 reboot of Godzilla merited a sequel is anyone's guess. That film totally sucked. And unsurprisingly, this one sucks even more. There's so many screaming, fighting monsters and so little plot to keep anyone over the age of 5 interested. Apparently, we're going to be subjected to Godzilla versus Kong in 2020.
Oh,
just can't wait for that one. God help us all. King Godzilla, please do a Prince Andrew and just disappear from public view. High Life. Perhaps this one should be called Low Life. Anyway, possibly the most boring film shown at this year's Sydney Film Festival. The audience started walking out after about 10 minutes.
Oh, God.
The sounds of chairs flipping up and feet plodding slowly to the exits, or sometimes quickly, is my abiding memory of this extremely dull sci-fi film starring Robert Pattinson and Juliette Binoche. High Life was definitely a low point of film viewing in 2019. The Dead Don't Die, directed by Jim Jarmusch, was another film that made its debut at the Sydney Film Festival. This zombie film was probably the biggest disappointment of the Sydney Film Festival. Pretty much a one-joke movie, a metaphor for humanity now being hypnotised by the internet / social media / smartphones, that maybe should have been a short film that ran for about 15 minutes or so. This one dragged on for 90 painful ones. Not even a stellar cast could save this turgid film. You may wish for death if you have to sit through this one. Dragged Across Concrete. Vince Vaughn and Mel Gibson play two really nasty, awful cops, turn bad, who try to do some bad things to some even more awful people. Never has there been a more appropriate title for a film. Indeed, being dragged across concrete would probably be preferable to sitting through this excrement. Charlie's Angels makes my list. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I knew it would.
Another unnecessary remake. This film makes the list not because it was written or directed by a woman or has modern themes and that sort of stuff. It just wasn't very good. And Elizabeth Banks can do so much better. And also the casting was terrible. Find some angels with charisma next time, because I'm sure there will be another one.
It's like Marvel movies. They never stop.
Now, a couple of other dishonourable mentions. Greta was one of the dumbest thrillers of the year. And If Beale Street Could Talk was just plain boring. Ad Astra, too pretentious. Now, it also wouldn't be a sort of worst of least favourite list with at least one Australian film making that list. And this year, that film is Palm Beach. I guess it was a film made for Scott Morrison's Quiet Australians Afraid to Lose Their Franking Credits. I'm just not sure who it was made for. It's a film about obscenely wealthy people with first world problems. A complete waste of an excellent cast. You've got Brian Brown, Sam Neill, Greta Scacchi, Richard E. Grant, Jacqueline McKenzie, Heather Mitchell. But a storyline only the wealthiest 1% could possibly relate to. To this film, I say, no way, boomer. Well, that pretty much sums up 2019 for me. I'm sure I've left out lots of films that people loved and lots of films that people hated. But I've enjoyed watching every one of those films, even the ones that I didn't like.
Well, it is very comforting to know what your top picks are, Michael. So thank you for that. Really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.